Hello and welcome to Bolts and Bats in the Bay. This podcast is brought to you by FL Teams. FL Teams is a top Florida sports source dedicated to providing in-depth analysis and coverage for all Florida sports, including college and professional sports teams. I'm your host, Jeff Macalino, here to take you inside the week that was for the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning and the defending American League champions, the Tampa Bay Rays. So to start things off, the Lightning's week was much different than expected. They were supposed to travel to Dallas for two games against the Stars, but Mother Nature did not agree with that plan. So due to the weather in Texas, those games were postponed. Fortunately, due to the new division format where every team is only playing divisional opponents this season, things were able to get moved around, so the Lightning were at least able to get in one game, which was Saturday night against the Carolina Hurricanes, which now makes, as far as the schedule goes, the Lightning are now playing four games in a row against the Hurricanes, and I'll tell you, the first one did not go well. After a pretty quick and uneventful first period, the Lightning gave up two goals in the second and two in the third. One was an empty netter, and the Lightning were shut out. So they dropped game one of this four-game set, so to speak, 4-0, and certainly not the way they would have wanted to start this little series with Carolina. The story of this game, it was defensive zone turnovers. They were responsible for the three non-empty net goals, each and every one of them. And it was frustrating, because outside of those mistakes, they played okay. They weren't outskated up and down the ice or anything, but those turnovers were so costly. The first goal, really, it came on a play that Ryan McDonagh should have been able to clear the puck, but it hopped over his stick. Then it hit off Alex Killorn in front. It looks like it actually went in off Killorn from what I could tell. Bad luck for Killorn. It wasn't on him, but, I'm not sure if McDonagh got a little lazy with the puck. It just took a fluky bounce. But the second goal was really, it was a bad decision and turnover by Braden Point. They preached going north after their loss to the Panthers last Monday, and he did not go north. He went east and west and gave up the puck in his own zone, and it turned into an easy opportunity for a goal for Carolina. And the third goal, again, was a turnover by Volkov this time, who I shouted out last week for how well he had played. And he played a solid game overall as well, but he did make a costly turnover, and that one led to a goal for our old friend Cedric Paquette, who scored his first goal since joining the Hurricanes. So ultimately, the Lightning are in a bit of a slump after their outstanding start. One thing that jumps out to me, so they've played 15 games now. The Lightning have given up more than two goals only four times, but three of them have come in the last four games. Of course, it was twice last week against the Florida Panthers and then Saturday night to Carolina. Here's the good news. These guys, McDonagh and Point, I mentioned from Saturday's game, they've all been here. This is most likely just one of those slumps every team goes through. The Lightning go through them every year, too. It's just three out of four. It's not the end of the world. Obviously, it's a shorter season, so it can't keep going. But the Lightning are a team that also goes on incredibly long winning streaks every year in recent memory. I'm not concerned, and hopefully Saturday, maybe a little rust crept in, and that maybe caused some of the issues, but we'll see. They've got three games against Carolina, and I'll turn that to segue into the standings. As far as the Central Division standings go, Lightning currently sit fourth with 21 points. Remember, this year, only the top four in each division make the playoffs, so they're in. But of note, the Lightning played the fewest games, and they're 4 points against Carolina, who is in first place. But the Lightning not only have a game in hand on Carolina, they obviously can make those points up this week because they play them. The Panthers are in second place with 24 points, so it's three ahead of the Bolts, but Florida's also played one more game. And Chicago is 1 point ahead of the Lightning currently, but they've actually played four more games than the Lightning, so that's a bit deceiving. And honestly, looking at it, you know, remembering you need to be in the top four, no one's really nipping at the Lightning's heels here from behind. Columbus is 1 point behind, but they've also played 19 to the Lightning's 15. And then Dallas, Nashville, and Detroit are pretty far back there in the standings. Realistically, the Lightning would need to completely collapse to miss the playoffs from how the Central looks to be shaken out. I mean, we're more than a quarter done with this season at this point. And all that matters, the Lightning know more than anyone, get into the tournament, anything can happen from there. So, looking forward, the Lightning play Carolina three times in 4 days. So, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they play Carolina. Then we'll host Dallas this time in Tampa for games. That's Saturday, February 27th, and Monday, March 1st. So next week, I'll have a busy week to recap and hopefully a good one. Before I move on from the Lightning, I do quickly want to give a shout-out to the before-mentioned Alex Killorn, who skated in his 600th game on Saturday. He's already sixth in franchise history in games. It was actually shocking to me to think he's been around that long. But congrats to Killer for game 600. Hope to see you for many, many more. So now we'll switch over to the Rays side. Pitchers and catchers reported, and spring training is starting soon. It's starting Sunday. As a fun side note, this week it was announced that the Toronto Blue Jays will be starting the regular season in Dunedin this year because they can't go back to Canada with COVID restrictions. So I did want to point out that while a few years from now, Pinellas County may not have a Major League Baseball team, at the start of 2021, they will have two Major League Baseball teams playing their regular season home games in Pinellas County. So for at least a month or two, they can brag that they house two Major League Baseball teams in Pinellas County. But being as the Rays play their first spring training game, again, it comes up Sunday, February 28th, I thought I'd use this time before games start playing to kind of reminisce of the days of old, back when I worked for the Rays. Spring training was by far my favorite time of the year. I got to spend a lot of time out in the sun at the Ray Namoli Complex or at Al Lang Field, depending on February and March. It was so much fun, and there was a sense of optimism, even in my early spring training days, 06, 07, when Joe Maddon was just brought on board and ownership had just changed over to Stu Sternberg. There was so much optimism and anticipation of what could happen. You know, it's a blank slate. So I thought I'd talk about a catchphrase, which I kind of sadly think is seemingly mostly forgotten by many of the Rays fans, but back in 2008, it took over the Bay, and that's 9 = 8. So I was lucky enough to not only be in the organization during that magical 2008 season, but I was actually in the first pre-game, pre-spring training workout huddle where Joe Maddon addressed the team and the entire group, and he gave the speech in which he introduced that 9 = 8 catchphrase. So I think mostly what was mentioned in the press was kind of the easiest part of that. He emphasized that 9 players playing hard for 9 innings would equal the Rays being one of the 8 teams that make the playoffs. So 9 = 8. But he actually said something else that really struck me. And in the moment, it really made things seem like, hey, there is actually a chance that this team, you know, perennial losers, could make the playoffs. And what he said was, from the 07 season, they needed 9 more wins from their offense, 9 more wins from their pitching, and 9 more wins from their defense. And if they added those 9 + 9 + 9, 27 wins, that would make them one of the 8 playoff teams. And it really made things start to make sense. I distinctly remember I talked to a few players that spring training, and I wasn't with the press. They didn't have to sugarcoat things with me, but they legitimately bought into the fact they could be contenders. And that breakdown of 9 from each aspect of the game really did make it click. I mean, the Rays added bats in the offseason. They added Cliff Floyd and Eric Hinsky. They knew Evan Longoria would be up with the Major League team as well. They added pitching. They traded for Matt Garza. They added Troy Percival. At the end of 07, they had added Dan Wheeler. that they traded for. And then they also had a bunch of young and developing pitchers like J.P. Howell and Scott Kazmir and James Shields that, you know, you anticipated they could easily win nine more games off of that upgraded pitching staff. And then they also added one of the trades that was really unsung at the time. He was part of the Matt Garza deal, but Jason Bartlett at shortstop, who made a huge difference for them defensively, and Evan Longoria at third base. And they finally had figured out in the second half of 2007 where they could put B.J. Upton, where he helped the team on defense instead of which was center field instead of anywhere in the infield. And they could get his bat in the lineup and get him to be a positive defensively. So there was a lot going for it. And it really, you know, that 9-8 was a lot more, I think, mentally engaging than just the simple play hard for nine innings that they mostly was what was reported, I think, out of that little catchphrase when the Rays went on their run and that thing kind of became the slogan around town. And of course, that spring got even more exciting when they had the whole dust up with the Yankees. Elliot Johnson went hard into home plate and broke Francisco Cervelli's wrist. And then what made it even worse or better for the Rays was then Yankees manager Joe Girardi came out and called it uncalled for. And Joe Maddon basically said, hey, we teach our guys to play hard here. And then shortly after that, in the game at Al Lang, Shelly Duncan of the Yankees had a very dirty slide, cleats up into the knees of Akinori Iwamura at second base and launched a benches clearing brawl. And then, as, again, Rays fans who have been around for a little while know, during the regular season, they got in a couple brawls as well with the Boston Red Sox. And as you probably know, that Rays team, of course, not only made the playoffs as one of the eight teams, but they made the World Series after an exciting Game 7, ALCS defeat of the hated Boston Red Sox. So that really didn't have much to do with the current-day Rays, but I thought this might be the last chance for me to reminisce on here before the action gets going. And really, ultimately, my point is spring training's that time. It just feels fresh and optimism can run wild. So you sit here and you got to hope that the Rays' acquisitions and trades this offseason turn out to be gold like in that 2008 offseason. And hopefully this team can bond like that 2008 squad and get back to the postseason like they did last year. So I will wrap it up. Again, busy week ahead for the Lightning, and the Rays start spring training games soon. Remember to stay up to date by going to flteams.com for all your Florida sports news. You can follow FL Teams on Twitter at FL Teams altogether. You can follow me on Twitter at Saint JMac, SaintJMac. Until next week, this is Jeff Macalino. Peace.